some of us had the opportunity to live that last night with trick-or-treating. And as our kids get back with all their loot, and it becomes, you know, we were like, all right, guys, let's check out and see what our score looks like. So we had some friends over, and we were sitting around our table, and there were four of them, and them as little people, and they had way too much candy than they should ever have in their lives. And so they took their things and they dumped them on the table, and it's we have a round table, and so some of the content spilled over into, you know, like other people's content, and mine, and we had to draw lines, we had to have quadrants so that everybody knew like whose it was and when. And it's we have a as many of you know, we've got a soon-to-be 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And so mine has been a word that somehow, in some way, they learn very quickly. And they have, as I was spending some time working on this series, and online they had this great, I came across this list of, like, the toddler's minds. M-I-N-E, right? And so it was sort of like, if it's mine, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I think it's mine, it's mine. If it should be mine, it's mine. If I want it to be mine, it's mine. If it's yours, but really, you know, I want it and it could be mine, then it's mine. And so it was this really kind of a funny list of, and many of us have had the opportunity to see that play out in the lives of little people. Now, what's interesting is that as adults, sometimes we struggle with the same concept. That sometimes we as adults go through the list of things that should be mine, could be mine, I want to be mine, and sometimes we try therefore to make them mine. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start a sermon series entitled Mine. And talking about a couple of different things. This morning we're going to talk about time. And I want you to note the first thing that we think about, the first point to kind of, if you're taking notes, maybe jot down, is time as opportunity. Time is one of the things that we think is mine. It is mine to choose what I do with it, when I do with it, how I do with it, and it's mine. It is my time. The days that I have between birth and death are mine. And so therefore, I decide what it is that I do with my time. Now, what's interesting that is if you think about time as an opportunity, the opportunity arises especially if you would consider yourself to be a Christian. If you would consider yourself to be someone who is a follower of Christ, then, see, there's going to be a little bit of a line of logic, okay? So if you would say, yes, I follow Jesus, yes, I am a Christian, then with that comes also the understanding that all things come from God and all things are God's, even our time. That all things are a gift from God, including my time. And so time becomes an opportunity to be a steward, to be a caretaker of our time. Mine, my time. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn, or if you want to, go ahead and take a couple notes, and I left my Bible on my chair. James chapter 4 is going to be the first one we're going to look at. So James chapter 4, and they're not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to write them down and check them out later in the week, or you'll hear me read a couple of them. James chapter 4, and verses, I'm reading from verses 13 through 17. And James is writing, and he says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, we'll carry on business, and we'll make some money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Some of you are living in that sort of thing right now, aren't you? Where you had no idea that this thing that you're dealing with or that you have encountered, it came out of nowhere. It might be a health issue. It might be a relational issue. It might be a career issue. It might be a financial issue. It might be some sort of emotional issue. It might be perhaps even a spiritual issue that came out of nowhere. You had no, this was not in your planning. This was not in the schedule. This was not on the calendar. And all of a sudden, here you are with this thing. And we talk about and we plan, right? Just as a human being, we plan stuff. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. I've got this vacation plan for 2017 that we're going to go do. And oh, wow. And here the writer, James, says, so why do you even, you talk about you're going to do this, you're going to go there, you're going to do that. Why, when you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life, he says? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, he says, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or we will do that. He concludes this passage by saying, if anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is for them sin. James is making a comment about our time. And then if you want to turn over to Matthew, so a little bit to the left in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at, I'm going to summarize Matthew chapter 6. 19 through 34. So write that down, and then you can read that during some of your time this week, your devotional time. Jesus is talking, it's towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, and he talks about storing up treasures in heaven. You've heard this, more than likely, many of you have heard this passage or this teaching where he says, so don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, you know the rest? For where your treasure is, then you'll also find what, Jesus says? Your heart, okay? And then he goes on, he talks about the eye as the lamp of the body and the darkness, and you can't serve two masters. And then he goes on in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food or the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do all the stuff and they fly around and God takes care of them. My paraphrase. Can any of you, Jesus says, by worrying add a single, do you know? A single hour to your life. And why do you worry about clothes? The flowers, look at them, they're beautiful, they grow and they do their thing and God takes care of them and then they're thrown into the fire, he says. He says, and he concludes this passage, Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is making a commentary, and he's challenging us, as well as James, to be thinking about our time as opportunity. And moving from the thought process that that time is mine, it is mine. The time that I have is mine. And James and Jesus are making the point that it's really about priority. What we do with our time matters and is a statement of our priorities. Jesus even says it so far to say, so where your treasure is, there your interactive. This is right, fun. Come on, guys. Yeah. So where your treasure is, there's your heart going to be. And one of the ways in which we define treasure is with our time. Time and money define our priorities. You've heard me say it. Your calendar and your checkbook. And so when we think about time as an opportunity that we might be stewards of, that God is, if we truly believe that we are trying to follow Jesus, then the next logical thing we would say that we can all kind of wrestle with and agree with, though, it's hard, but we agree that from God comes all things. And if that's true, then the next thing would be that even our time is a gift from God. Therefore, we are given to be caretakers of this gift of our time. We come on All Saints Sunday and we remember the loved ones who have gone before us, some of whom left us way too early. We don't know what tomorrow brings. And so in this time to remember time and loved ones who have gone before, we're reminded that time is an opportunity, and with it comes a sense of urgency. the writer of Job tells us, if you, again, you're taking notes, Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job says that time is actually, our days are numbered. And so when we begin to think about time, and if we want to just say that all time is mine, then what happens is we begin to steal from ourselves. And we start asking ourselves, well, what's the right thing to do? What's the logical thing to do? What's the legal thing to do? What's the moral thing to do? And when we begin, if we take a step back and we hear the words of Job when he says that our days are in fact numbered, that perhaps the question is not what's the right thing, what's the moral thing, what's the legal thing to do with our time, but what is the wise thing to do with our time? And when we begin to say and hoard our time, or when we say, mine, 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 time is mine, that then in fact we begin to steal from ourselves. Here's kind of how I think about this. Think of all of the things that you can overdo. You can overeat, you can oversleep, you can overwork. You cannot overlive. These candles remind us that our days are numbered. You cannot overlive, that when our time is done, it's done. And so then we begin to think about, what are we doing with our time? What are the places that we're stealing opportunities from ourselves because we've said that this time is mine? It's mine. It's mine. And then we miss the things that God would have for us to do or to be. More important than asking what time it is what are you doing with your time? What are we doing with the numbered, limited amount of time that we have in this place, on this earth, in this life? What are we doing with our time? So then I think that leads to time with purpose. We have to be doing something with our time that makes it have purpose, that gives it purpose and meaning. And I'm wondering if it's more than just simply calling it mine. I'm wondering if some of the purpose behind our time might have to do with our health, with our family, our relationships, our influence. Heard a guy by the name of Andy Stanley talk about time as a cumulative thing, which I thought was just a fascinating idea. The idea that time adds up over time. And you have seen this probably at work in your own lives in some different ways. If you decide to exercise 30 minutes, let's give you, if you decide to exercise an hour a week, three times a week, maybe of 20 minutes here or there, right? That you do that for a week, and then you do that for a month, and then you do that for a year, and then you do that for 5 years, and you do that for 10 years, and that time adds up. That there's a cumulative effect that happens when we do these little deposits of purposeful time. Now, so when you're doing that and you miss, some of you have a fantastic regimen of exercise. So props to you. Mine is non-existent, okay? So there are times when in my life I feel motivated. I had my yearly physical, or maybe it's a three-yearly physical, whatever. And so that was a couple weeks ago, and it was I've been working on trying to eat cleaner, and that means for me primarily don't drink pop. So I don't really drink pop anymore. And so I went in, had all my blood work done, and they came back with all my numbers, and my numbers were actually sort of legit, right? So I was like, yeah. So I went, of course, I take it home, and I highlight it, and I'm like, Ty, look at this, booyah. She's always like, you can't eat those things. And I'm like, ha-ha, whatever. All right. And so then I get this report. I go home, and I'm like, I am motivated. I am going to, whew, let's do this. And I jump on the treadmill for like 30 minutes and I'm like, yes. And then I haven't since, right? So there's the opposite effect of time. So cumulatively, it adds up when we're doing things that are purposeful with our time. And if you're doing this regimen that you have, some of you, that where you are just disciplined in your physical exercise, and you're doing this thing, and you're working on it, and you miss an installment of you miss a day at the gym, it is not going to negatively impact your overall like health or your physique. Because you're on it and you're doing it and you miss an installment and it's okay. There's probably a lot of things in our life that if we miss one installment of, it's probably not going to break us. Now, the other side is true. If time is this cumulative thing where when we make intentional deposits of our time, purposeful deposits of our time, that it adds up, the opposite is also true, that random doesn't add up. So when I go, let's do this, and I jump on the treadmill for 30 minutes, my health is not automatically instantly better, right? And we all do that, don't we? Where we're like, I feel horrible about myself. I'm going to eat better, and I'm going to exercise, and we do it for a week, or we do it for a month, and the impact of that is not cumulative. It has to be consistent deposits of time. You know where another place where this plays out in all of our lives is our spiritual relationship, our spiritual maturity, our relationship with God. Something happens in our life and we're like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to do. God, where are you? And God shows up and we're like, thanks God. God, I am going to, I haven't read my Bible in ever. And so I'm going to read the whole thing right now. And here we go. Genesis chapter 1. And you make it a couple chapters in, and then you're like, this is so boring. I can't. Leviticus, like, God, why did you even put that in here? I'm done. And that does not add up cumulatively to your spiritual maturity. It is consistent, intentional, purposeful deposits of time. If you want to grow in your faith, then you have to do consistent, purposeful deposits of time. Your relationships are another, sometimes painful, but can also be a beautiful reminder of this lesson. Intentional, purposeful deposits of time will add up cumulatively as you invest in relationships. It might be your marriage. You need to figure out, how do I put in purposeful deposits of time into this thing, into this relationship? It might be with your kids. It might be with a sibling. It might be with I don't know where that is or what that looks like. But when we think about time with purpose, and we think about this idea that there is a cumulative effect, that the neglect of it is also cumulative, right? If you just say, you know what, forget my health, I don't care, that has a cumulative impact on you as well. So neglect also has a cumulative effect. It's easy and it's also costly. Neglect is easy and costly. And you have seen it in your relationships as well. You've seen it in your faith, where you have neglected a thing and now you're looking at it going, wondering, what happened? What happened to this relationship? God, what happened to my faith? I don't know you. I don't hear you. I don't see you. It's because we have failed to put in to deposit purposeful, consistent time into these things. When you take random, you get random. So when we have those flash in the pan moments of motivation with our health, with our spirituality, with our relationships, that does not consistently, or it's not sustainable and having a cumulative impact on those things. To just randomly do something, to randomly jump on the treadmill for 30 minutes, for the one time in maybe years, I don't know, whatever, all right, don't judge me, but it's been years maybe, I'm not physically now fit and I'm good to go. Small deposits of time over time. And when we think about time as purpose, it means that then we're setting our priorities based on what we do with our time. And I know that this maybe is making some of us feel uncomfortable this morning, because it means that there's, for some of us, we have some really tough decisions that we need to make right now in our lives. Like, I think about hobbies, and there's things I like to do. And I also recognize that there are decisions that I have to make on the limited amount of time that I have. I don't mean just the limited amount of days, that at some point my days, they are numbered and they will end. But I'm even looking at just the 24-hour cycle of a day. There are 24 hours in a day. I have 24 hours in this day to do whatever it is I'm going to do in this day. And for some of us, we need to make the decision about setting some other things aside and making more intentional deposits of our time in other places. Now, again, it may not be the question of what's the right thing, what's the legal thing, what's the moral thing. It's not that you're trying to decide whether or not you should take the time to go kill somebody, but that you're trying to figure out, should I go and spend time on this hobby, or should I make a deposit of time into my family? Should I go and spend this time and pour more time into my work or my career, or should I take this time and deposit it into my relationship with God? And so when we think about time with purpose and we want to say it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, that if we can change this sort of perspective that time is actually a gift from God, therefore time is actually God's, therefore I am given this gift to be a caretaker of. And now it changes and it sets and it challenges my priorities. And I say, okay, now what is the wise thing to do with my time? What is the thing that God would have me do with this gift of time that he has given me? And some of us right now are making deposits of our time in a place that will have maybe potentially little to no cumulative effect at all or impact in our lives. You can think back of times in your life when you have put time into something and now you're like, well, that was a giant waste. What do I have to show for all the time that I put in here, into this relationship, into this career, into this job, into this thing? And now, and you can look today and go, nothing. I have virtually nothing to show for this time. Perhaps there's a particular hobby or this thing that you really like to do, you're passionate about, and you put in a lot of time. And there's the potential that down the road, you're going to look back and go, you know what? I put in a lot of time into this thing, and I don't really have a whole lot to show for, not just this thing, but I also can show and see that my relationships or that my family, that where my deposit is, what could have been in my family is now. You remember, maybe it was high school, maybe it was college for you, this was me for sure through a lot of school. We got this test coming up in a couple weeks, and just heads up, there's this test. And so I would go, cool, okay, that means I don't do anything until the night before the test. So I'm like, okay, cool, thanks. Now I know, like, I can plan ahead to know when I'm going to cram for and pull the all-nighter for this thing, because I just have to, you know, get this, I just have to pass, right? Just to pass and you get a degree. So I'm like, cool, let's just do that. All right, that's fine. So it would become the day before, the night before this test, and you cram, and you try to read as much stuff, you scramble, and you're looking through your notes, if you took some notes, if you were that kind of a kid or student, all right? And you went through, and then you took the test, and you passed it barely, and you kind of just moved on to the next thing. There are things in our lives where you can do that. Some of us do that now. There's that presentation that you have at work tomorrow that you're like, yeah, I'll knock that out later tonight, and then I'll roll in tomorrow to work, and you'll pull it off, and it'll be great. You can think of other things where you can just kind of cram to. There are the important things in our lives we cannot cram for. You cannot pull an all-nighter and make up for the time that you did not deposit into your relationships. You cannot cram and then try to say, okay, God, we're good now, right? Like, my faith is strong and our relationship is tight. You can't cram or have this sort of all-nighter spiritual study fest and then expect God to go, here we are, we're great. Just like your relationships, just like your finances. More than likely, you cannot just cram or pull an all-nighter and have your financial situation go from this thing to this thing and go, That's why all these people talk about planning and retirement and 401 numbers and letters, right? Because you can't just cram or pull the all-nighter for the things that really, really matter in our lives. Time with purpose. And so this morning, as we remember those and we remember time is a limited thing as a gift that we've been given, and what does it look like for us to live time with purpose? And to think about as we celebrate communion, where do you need to make consistent deposits of time? Where is the wise place for you to begin to make consistent deposits of time that will have a cumulative impact for your faith, for your relationships, for your life? One other passage I want you to write down, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll leave you with this thought as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm just going to read verses 15 and 16. Paul was writing and he says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore," he says, "do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Make the most of every opportunity. That's the idea of redeeming. If you look at the words that he uses, redeem your time. So many of us want to say, "It's mine, it's mine, it's mine." And God is saying, "I want to redeem your time so that it becomes his time, so that we might be blessed as we use it with purpose and opportunity." So I invite you to be thinking about that as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning. Lord, we give you thanks for this bread and for this cup, that they might become for us a means of your grace. And we're reminded of your presence with us and this gift of time. Lord, we confess to you that we have not and are not always good keepers of the time that you've given us, that it's really easy for us to want to just claim it and hold it as mine. And so we pray that as we celebrate communion this morning, that you would remind us that not only have you done these things so that you might redeem us, but that you might also redeem our time. And so help us to live as individuals and as a people who are wise with our time. Lord, we're reminded of the night when you were there with your disciples and you gave thanks and you broke the bread and you said, this is my body which has been broken for you. Take and eat and remember. And in a similar way, you took the cup and you gave thanks and you said, this cup is the cup of my blood, which is a new covenant, which washes your sins away. Would you take and drink and remember? You'll be ushered to the front to receive communion by intinction. We'll have a station here and on the other side there, which means that you'll take a piece of the bread off, dip it in the cup, invite you to be in a time of prayer. You don't have to be a member of Gateway. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You simply have to recognize that it is by God's grace that you and I are invited to come to this table of communion. And so I'm going to invite, if you would, just to be in an attitude of thanks. Maybe it's some confession. And listen and hear for the ways in which God might speak to you and into our lives as we think about, even especially, our time. Those that are going to help serve communion, we invite you to come up and help me.